Kick its ass! I'd like to say a special welcome this week on the final countdown to our CIA handlers who are paying a special attention this week where nothing of note happened.
I sure can't think of anything we were involved in.
Absolutely not.
No, certainly not.
I was out of town at the time and have what could only be described as a suspicious amount of photo evidence.
Yeah. Look at that. It was funny that our conferences all happened to be in different cities, all happened to be on the same sound stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, the word did come down. They weren't wasting one of their competent assassins on this one. That was.
Let's give the nephew a shot.
Yeah, let's give the nephew. So it's only fair that we're not sending the best of the Secret Service aren't being assigned to the target, and the best assassin isn't being given the job. So it's going to be fair.
It's like a Halo lobby, you know. It's seeded, you know. So you're only playing with people who are your level.
Yeah, you exactly should be 50%.
Yeah, I agree. You would think, given the main job of the Secret Service, as far as their protective duty, seems to be to just take a bullet. Like their main job, their main thing they do, their only move I've ever seen them do is they just dive on top of the president in the hope to form a human flesh wall to stop the bullets. And a lot of the discourse around the most recent unfortunate happening, the unfortunate whoopsie, has been around the gender makeup of the group. I don't think it matters whether they're women or men. I think, shouldn't they be all qualified sumo wrestlers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just fleshy is what we need. We just need big flesh shields.
I think you want to have different layers to it, where you want to have the guys who can get there from a distance and the guys who are constantly always already there.
A little bit.
You want your fronts and your forwards and your backs, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Sumo wrestlers, as we learned from early UFC, are actually pretty quick going, moving back and forward. It's their lateral movement that's a problem. So you kind of just need enough of them to, I guess the problem is at a certain point the bellies meet, but there's still quite a big gap where
have we considered a phalanx?
Interesting point. And what if we did? The companion cavalry and a phalanx. The Macedonian cavalry. Okay, Dan.
Yeah. I also listened to the one about Philip that just came out. And yeah, all right, we get it. You're smarter than all of us, and it's pronounced Macedonia.
Yeah.
Dan, I know you apologized at the start, but that only made it more obvious that you were like, and I want you to know why I'm smarter than you.
Yeah.
And you can read it too if you want to be as smart as I am, but I know you're not going to. But what if you did?
I had a lecture in university. Why did I have to think about where that lecturer was? Where else would it have been?
A speaker's corner in Hyde Park the other day, and then he finished the lecture by showing me his willy.
he insisted, and he may have been right. I have no way of knowing. He insisted on Charles Stuart Parnell.
Fuck that guy.
And he didn't just let it be, much like Carlin. He didn't just let it be a little quirk that he had. He's like, and you may have noticed I've been pronouncing it Parnell, which is actually the correct way to say Parnell. He wouldn't even say Parnell in like explaining it. It was pronounced Parnell. We do know that from the many voice recordings of him. That we don't
know. From the many voice recordings that were made by the Parnell Gramophone Corporation. No, God damn it.
Well, yeah, he's one of these, like, that's probably, it probably is right. He didn't pull that out of his arse. Somebody told him that. But much like with Dan, you're just like, okay, buddy. But like,
do you think Charles Stewart himself was trying to pull a bit of a Hyacinth Bouquet on us?
100% now that you say it, that's exactly what he was doing.
It's actually pronounced Parnell. I think you'll find.
Parnell residence! Lady of the house speaking! Imagine that he's fucking tootling out of his gaff and the neighbors are running and hiding because the Parnells are here. Who was his, like, who was his Onslow-esque in-law? Is that, like, Isaac Butt? I mean, the name like Isaac Butt, you would think.
The name like Isaac Butt, it's got to be Isaac Butt, yeah.
Yeah, solid.
It's the final countdown.
Bring back calling people Onslows. Oh, check out that Onslow over there.
Fucking Onslow over there. Yeah, absolutely. I'm for that. Because we all know what it means. We all know it means immigrant. We all know.
Jesus.
Couple of Onslows setting up tents there. There's a couple of Onslows who set up tents near my lovely Michelle's mother's house. And I think Michelle's been living in Ranelagh exactly too long because I think she thought they'd be moved. because when they set up in Herbert Park, they were gone in half an hour. but in Finsbury, it's like, no, they're allowed to be there. That's fine.
Yeah. They're with their people.
They're with their 95%,
you know? Like,
not us, you know. Not us.
Yeah. Did any of you watch what I would describe as the funniest moment on television that happened last night on RT1?
Oh, no.
You're going to have to tell me. I am not.
Give us the breakdown. What happened?
An excellent documentary called The Locals, which is about the local elections, and it follows seven people in North inner city Dublin who are going for the local council. They follow the Fine Gael person, they follow Malachy Steenson and Brian Garrigan as well, like as the and then like the Social Democrats, the Greens, and then Niall Ring as well. And like really good documentary by the same person who did North Circular, which if any of you saw that was very good.
Not about but the road.
Sorry?
Is it about the road?
It is about the road, yes. There's a moment, so obviously I listened to an interview with the director before and he was like, yeah, not sure, like, it's always an editorial decision to make, you know, like, you don't want to platform really hateful views, but at the same time, like, this is part of the story of, like, the local elections. Like, there was a real far-right element in both the European and the local elections. And I said to myself, you know, we filmed 12 people. Of the seven, I chose two that were anti-immigrant. And I felt like it's a story that needed to be told to tell the full story of the election. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's a really good editorial decision from a documentary point of view. And then they introduce Malachy Steenson, who, like, you know,
friend
of the show, Malachy Steenson. He is who he is. And then they introduce Brian Garrigan, who constantly wears a sign that says Irish Lives Matter.
Brian Garrigan, yeah.
Starts the who I recently learned was up in court for threatening some people doing roadworks with a what was it called? A slash hook. It was like, oh, I don't know, should they be platforming this guy? And then it shows him going out on a canvas, and then he does one canvas, gets out of breath from doing it because he's so fast.
He's a big lad, Mr. Garrigan.
and then says, did you know that if you put your keys to your head when you're trying to unlock your car, you could do it from further away? And they just decide to keep in about 5 minutes of him failing to do this. And it's honestly the best TV I've ever seen.
He must be an absolute squib then, because I can actually do that magic.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was doing it wrong. But it's like a really extended scene where he's like pressing it up against his head. Oh, it must not be working. Must not be working.
Maybe head fat doesn't count as head. Maybe that's what the problem
maybe
is.
Maybe it doesn't.
I have to actually be grazing skull. Because I often feel very clever / lazy when I do that. I'm like, oh, can't. Am I going to have to go back to check if that's close? Wait.
Yeah.
Gav, I really hope that, number one, incredible. Is that all they showed of him?
If he'd opened the car, they would have shown more. That was another thing that the director said.
He continued for another 15 minutes after they cut the scene. We only got 25% of it if I'd opened the car. I would say he's on screen. It's like an hour long documentary. He's on screen. There's seven candidates. He's on screen for like less than 10 minutes. I would say 5 minutes of it, or what felt like 5 minutes, is him trying to open the car.
Excellent. Excellent stuff.
It's like, that's what documentaries are for. You capture a bit of magic that just sums a person up, and this big fat idiot can't open his car. And it's just like, ah, we've got the essence of him, you know, captured on camera.
Because you're not gonna catch failed local election far right candidates, or frankly failed local election candidates in general, doing anything truly evil, because they lack the wherewithal. Yeah. So what you can best hope for is that they put their keys to their bulbous head and attempt to open their car.
And you kind of think to yourself, how did that guy not get in? You know, he's still trying to figure out the key thing.
It might be the worst thing in the world to just follow them for a while and just all the sitting counts. We should be able to find the dumbest one and have that. Ooh. And that should be like, isn't there a thing in the draft, the NFL draft, where they have like Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah.
The very last guy drafted. We should have Mr. Stupid. And it'll be Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Dummy, the stupidest counselor in the dumbest area.
The last person elected in every local council gets followed around by a documentary film crew for a year, and they have to make no mistakes.
Get ready,
that
everyone.
Stakes,
he's,
you know?
He's about to do something stupid.
I can imagine like someone just like trying to use their new key card to get into the doll.
Yeah.
He doesn't hang there. They're like,
oh, who won the, was it what was her name? Fine Gael minister who won the dumbest TD award when she drove her car down the steps.
Oh fuck, who was that?
Mary Mitchell O'Connor? Is that even, it was a three name person. TD drives.
Not Jennifer Carl McNeil.
No. JC McGann is not.
Mary Mitchell O'Connor?
That's what I thought it was, Mary Mitchell O'Connor. Yeah, she drives her car down the steps. In fact, there's footage of it, I think.
Is there footage of this?
If you look at this footage, it's Bam Jackson on my Zoom, so I'm going to come back out of it. Yeah, Mary Mitchell O'Connor, I think, is who did it. She just, on her first day, just drove the car down steps and got stuck there. And the funniest guy in your dad's WhatsApp group did make a joke about women drivers at that moment.
Can I tell you, the unpleasantness on the other side of the pond, that could refer to anything. There's been so much unpleasantness on both sides of the pond.
There's been,
the assassination of Trump has really been a heyday for the least funny guy in your dad's WhatsApp group.
Oh,
who,
yeah,
given the amount I was said, might be my dad.
Yeah, if you can't figure out whose dad it is, it's yours. Oh man, what kind of gold are we talking here, Gav?
Oh, just, you know, your classic, like, Mike Tyson eating his ear. A picture of Alec Baldwin with I Wouldn't Have Missed. You know, the usual malarkey.
Yeah. That is, I think malarkey is a great, is the right word for it.
That's all it is. It's malarkey.
Malarkey. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what
I've
say.
Been doing a wrestling-specific bend on it, which is just, like, all those absolutely fucking rocking badass photos of Trump immediately after getting shot.
Wow, holy shit. Like, I'm voting for him now. Like, that was
like when you saw that photo of him with his fist raised, you're like, that's going to be in a history textbook, and probably not for the right reasons.
It's like I never thought I'd need to look at a picture of Franz Ferdinand, but here we are.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. I mean, imagine if they'd missed Kennedy. Imagine if they just winged him. I mean, he'd be out for blood. Bobby, get Ted and the rest of the gang. We're gonna kill everyone. Round them up, put them in camps. Oswald may have been a patsy, so we're gonna bake him into a pasty. It's not a great Kennedy impression, but I do a pretty good one.
Oh, that was Kennedy.
You just do the real way to do it is actually just to do Diamond Joe Quimby.
It's just too Quimby.
That's
yeah.
They almost when you hear actual footage of Kennedy talking, you're like, oh, he really? That was really how he sounded? I don't know. They did sound like a parody of something.
Yeah, they sound like no one else in the world. Like,
yeah. They sound like the Kennedys. They have their own voice.
Yeah.
They have their own little community with hopes and dreams. Yes, they took it. They took a good old shot at. They took a good old shot at old Don, and they really didn't have the A team out with the secrets. I guess the former presidents don't get the best ones.
Yeah. The A team are probably with the big guy. You know, they're probably with the main fella.
Yeah.
Because they have to get extra ones for Joe because he keeps wandering off.
They need a 5 kilometer perimeter in case he goes missing.
When you saw it, it was like, man, he got. I don't know what I thought when I heard rooftop, but I figured like city blocks. I didn't think field with like 3 barns in it.
Nearby said you could get on without a ladder if you ran hard enough at it.
Surely the tippy, because remember when Obama came to Dublin? I don't know if any of you were in or around Trinity, but
class. Even when Biden came to Trinity, it was like, whoa.
It was nuts the stuff they were doing. Like every, you know, there was, and would have been way harder to secure windows and roofs, but boy, did they do it. But that was, again, that's the A team, if you can find them. Maybe you too can hire the A team. And I had heard that when I first read the report was that like it's a guy with a whatever they call that rifle that they all love so much,
the AR-15,
and he was using iron sights, and I was like, oh shit, so this is obviously some adaptation to make it like better at shooting or like a mad scope.
The worst sights.
Yeah, it's just the thing that's on the gun. It's the little V and the little corresponding notch at the front.
So he with an AR and like just the regular sights, he still got that close.
Oh, like look, he's definitely a fucking MK Ultra fucking victim. Like they're like robot soldier that somebody programmed and sent off to like. And I'll tell you, my first thought was, yeah, that's staged. And so was the first thoughts of a lot of people online. But we all had to, like, because it was too perfect. Like, look at that footage of him there with the fist in the air. But it became, as more details came out, it became increasingly obvious that all of the, regardless of what actually happened, all of the things that we were using to say it was probably staged actually didn't point towards it being staged. They pointed way more towards it being like LIHOP. Let it happen on purpose. Where it's like, and again, I was like, does he have his, if you're going to stage, it's like, I guess he has his own security that like let it happen. But then I don't know. It's nuts. It's crazy. It's not, I don't think we're reacting as crazy as it was.
It's such a testament.
Like an attempted assassination attempt. They attempted to attempt correct. To assassinate him.
But it was so fucking close. They winged him in the head. Like, shit.
Most people who get shot in the head don't survive.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Most people who get shot in the head tend to not survive.
Yeah. It's just a fucking absolute... And like the, you know, and then as well, like I think it was when it was just, oh, they shot him, they hit him in the ear or whatever. It didn't register with me until the other guy, like someone behind him, was shot and killed. And I'm like, I don't know why. I guess, of course, that makes it more real or whatever. But that's a wacky one. That's, and I have to say, if I was Donald Trump, I would have, he's announced his VP candidate. Fine. Okay. J.D. Vance. Sounds like a movie producer name.
He sounds like an author from the like early 20th century.
Guys, you're both so right. Like, yeah. He kind of is.
Yeah. But really, if you're Donald Trump and you want to prevent people trying to get rid of you by assassinating you, your VP candidate has to be Bobby Kennedy Jr. I was like, at least they got to get both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, we will obviously need to appoint a vice president when the inevitable happens. So.
MLK Jr. Jr. And whoever, it's like all the way down, it's just the children of assassinated political people. It's like Malcolm Y, it's Huey Longer, you know, all the, you know. These are very good. These are really good jokes that I'm going to do in my return to stand up, I promise.
You'd want to.
Malcolm Y, come on!
Come on, everybody.
You'd want to return quickly. I don't think this is going to be that relevant for a long
time. No, it is.
Oh, good. I think one thing that I certainly noticed was that you'd actually never think it would actually be really difficult to assassinate Biden, because you'd be like, all right, I've got him. He's walking steadily across the stage. Oh no, he stopped completely out of the blue for no reason at all. His movement pattern.
It would also be particularly, it might be that hard to hit him, but like it'd be pretty hard to kill him. But I mean, presumably you could hit him clean in the head and who the fuck would know the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him. He's gone round the bend, as old Joe. Yeah. And it's not, that was, you know, that was the stuff of conspiracy theories a little while ago, but then he went on television and everyone saw.
That his real opponent isn't Donald Trump. It's old Father Time.
Father Time. Yeah. Old Man Winter.
I assume you pay your taxes and fully licensed and bonded by the state, Mr. Plato.
Shut up, boy. they were... I don't want to get into too much. It's like if it came out like the day it happened, I'd love to just talk about it forever. And for me, it's going to be fun for a good while, because there's going to be
a million conspiracy
theories about it, and I'm just going to be in hog heaven for a little while. So
I was at a wedding last weekend, and it was one of those things, like, sign of a good wedding, that no one knew it happened until like waking up very hungover on Sunday morning and being like, nah, this didn't happen, and then going back to sleep. And then waking up again, be like, whoa, shit, y'all here?
Yeah, it does feel like one of those very realistic dreams that you wake up and there is a lingering, like, oh yeah, that didn't really happen, but it did.
But it bloody did.
So I don't know if anyone has any beers for this beer podcast. So
I've got a spooky.
Oh, fantastic. What have you got?
Yeah, have you got a spooky too?
Mm-hmm. I've got a pearl backer, as I consistently had for the last forever. Let me tell you, I can't sing the praises of this beer enough. Not only is it 50 cent a bottle, like where would you be going? But also, I don't love it. So that six pack that I bought 3 weeks ago, I've had two bottles for each week on the podcast, and I've been not tempted to drink it at any other time. So it's real money saving.
I've also gone for the money saving play, and this week I've taken a can of Vit Hit that was provided free at my job.
Nice, excellent. So in terms of price, it's gonna like rate very highly.
It actually gives me 15 cents because I get to put it in a return machine.
Fuck, I actually forgot about that. There's cans at my office too.
Yeah, bro.
I need to be making bang.
I figure that like the dudes who are like, you know, the fresh out of college, you know, like struggle, like the people who are like being very cost conscious or like doing three meals a day in the office. I'm like, you guys need to realize that your groceries on the weekend can also be covered by the cans in the fridge.
I got to say, we were, what spooky do you have, Gavin? Sorry that you said, we'll get a report on Vit Hit later. What?
I've got a Heineken spooky. I've just been suffering from a bit of constipation, so I just want to shit myself.
I've got to tell you, you've got to push through with that strategy, Gavin, because I'm not certain that one will just make it worse. I do think you need to drink six of them.
Yeah. And like, as much as I'd love to do it in the toilet, six just makes you go in your pants. It does.
Makes you go in your pants. It actually didn't make me go in my pants. It made me rush into a nearby bush and do it there, which, you know.
And if that doesn't work, I can bust open the strategic reserves of Copperberg Pear.
Copperberg Pear. Oh, the nuclear option.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to, not only are you going to shit, but it's going to be, like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's your weekend.
Yeah, you're shitting there. With our Vit Hit, I can't believe it's still going as a product. I remember Vit Hit came in 2006. I was working in a shop at the time, and we got a big shipment of Vit Hit the day Vit Hit came out. And we threw out 6 months later a big shipment of Vit Hit. We didn't sell one fucking bottle of Vit Hit.
I'm surprised by that.
No one cared about their health in 2006.
It's 2006. Yeah. You do have to remember. Yeah, it also, the move, putting it in cans, good move, because it settles in the bottle, and maybe people are more like au fait with stuff like kombucha and stuff that will have residue in it. But at the amount of people I saw pick it up, observe that there was sediment in the bottle, and go, fucking, people didn't even steal it. Like, it was, every bottle got sent back.
I think that the Mandarin Vit Hit is the most delicious soft drink.
I'm an apple and elderflower boy myself.
Well, look, experts can disagree.
I actually have never tried one, possibly due to throwing out all those Vit Hits all those many years ago. But
if there's one thing you hate more than Vit Hit, it's changing your mind.
Yeah. Well, no, but are you telling me? Are you telling me that's something I should be doing? I should be going for a Vit Hit?
Vit Hit will be my go-to hangover soft drink, I think. Like, nothing cures what ails you. Like, basically Ribena, but, like, slightly more expensive, and it says it has vitamins. You know, like...
I get them all the time. I just think it's tasty. Like, honestly...
They are tasty.
The vitamins, I'm like, I kind of don't believe you on some level.
Yeah.
Or I don't believe the vitamins.
No, I mean, well, you can put vitamins in. I mean, look at how many vitamins are in a can of Monster. There's a lot. There's thousands of percent of your recommended daily allowance of all the vitamins.
You're right, man. I also literally to hand have an empty can of Monster.
Yeah, look at the amount of vitamins in there. All the bees.
Yeah.
All the bees? Oh, your wee is going to be extremely yellow.
Yes, but you will be free of berry.
3, 5, 6, 12. That's all your peak bees right there.
Yeah. And it's been mentioned before, but it was completely accurate. Was it Mitch Hedberg or Mitch Hedberg clone Dimitri Martin, whichever one of them it was, that I think they thought there was gonna be more vitamins than there was.
Yeah. that's Dimitri Martin. Yeah. Oh, we're really getting through these letters. B2. Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, you would think there should be a vitamin. You would think it's a very unregulated industry. You'd think they just make vitamins up.
They do.
Yeah.
You've got a vitamin Q deficiency is actually leading to, if you can say it's leading to lowering of testosterone or something, man, I'll buy it. If you say it's leading to fewer Taylor Swift tickets being sold, women will buy it. I mean, it's going to be a... Vitamin T, Vitamin Taylor. There is a Vitamin H. We know about that. Vitamin I.
We do. Yeah. There's definitely Vitamin K. Or is it Special K? It's Special K that has Vitamin K in it. Yeah, but
let's not forget that you can actually double up. Like, we know that Vitamin D is two things.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. If you're getting it right, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Is there more than one D? I mean, not for me, there isn't. There's only one D.
Most people. I mean, everyone. I mean, on average, people have about half a D.
Yeah, that's true. Never enough of me. Oh, we got reports. I hadn't been checking the I've been checking the final countdown Twitter, and with good reason. It's all OnlyFans people just friending it and going like, look at my boobs, they're in the bio.
Wait, sorry, what's the password for, no, you know what, I'll get it after the show.
So you're wrong. But we did get a report that Rammstein could be heard like crystal clear from Finsbury.
Wow, that is far away.
And yet in no way surprising, because it was the loudest thing in the entire world. Did we get any more talk from any sound engineer-y type people as to
why
did somebody lose their job over that, or did the solicitors' letters pour in from
D4? I haven't heard anything since the last time, but like, surely there's a way we can check if the solicitors' letters poured in.
I mean, they do have a funny way of delivering them around here. They do both fly on ravens and owls and stuff. It's kind of a Harry Potter Game of Thrones mishmash in this part of South Dublin. But you would think if someone's gonna get litigious about anything, somebody here is gonna get litigious about that. If you heard that just in a vacuum, you just heard that was going, that you'd be like, oh, the poor little D4 people, look at them there complaining about that. What have they got to be given out of it? I've got to tell you, they would be justified. It was ridiculous. Fucking bananas. And I actually like pretty more than I'd imagine most of them do the music of Rammstein. But when you got close enough to the RDS, you couldn't even really enjoy it because it was, the way the sound was coming out, it was echoing so fast off the apartment blocks that it was just discordant ridiculousness that was being heard. So we'll see. Actually, it won't end up in court. People live around there. They get things sorted quietly.
Another way. Yeah.
They get things sorted quietly.
They turn the flamethrowers from Rammstein on the people complaining.
That'll teach them.
Yeah. MCD, if you don't give us some compensation right now, there'll be no Neil Diamond for anyone.
And a sporting moment that may go unnoticed based on the other events of the weekend. There are those on this weekend who sadly or not missed their target. I think not sadly. I'm glad Trump is still with us. Some people think sadly. A lot of people are saying, you know, it's a sad thing that he did. But from people who very much hit the target, and twice no less, goodness gracious, great frawls of fire, Kieran Frawley, in an amazing sporting moment that remarkably few people saw live, given that it was not on the national broadcaster or available to go to here. Last minute drop goal, it didn't feel as much of a buzzer beater as the
Le Drop.
As Le Drop.
As the Sexton, as Le Drop. But it's the closest thing to it.
It is. And maybe it didn't feel like a buzzer beater because he had already done it once. It was like, well, we know.
Yeah, you know what? That's what it is. It was. He'd done it but a few minutes previously.
Doing it the first time got him within range of it, of winning the game with the second one. So, like, it should feel like double the drop, but it feels like half the drop.
Yeah, that's a weird one, but you're absolutely right. That is exactly...
I was one of the people who did not see this game, but do we think that's such an amount of the dropping? Are we entering a new era of dropping?
I hope so. I love drop goals so much.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, take the points, except for in open play where that's always allowed.
Mm.
Well, you particularly... At that point in a game, I don't know what, particularly in the stadium when the pursuing team is the away team, you would probably have to decapitate someone in order to give away a scoreable penalty.
In that situation.
So you're going to see more drop goals. And we talked about it at the time with the Sexton one. Was it like, it's as close as rugby gets to feeling like soccer when a goal goes in. And in fact, what one of the really irritating trends in soccer is that now even soccer is not soccer, because like a goal goes in, you're looking, well, what's fucking VAR? Is that really?
Yeah, yeah.
It takes away that instantaneous, the complete USP, particularly for someone like me who, like, I'm not that tactically aware of what's going on in a game of football. So someone who knows more will be like, well, no, that goal was coming, and you could see that that was going, you know, something with. Whereas to me, it's like, what? Who? Goal? You know? It has the complete shock factor. And it is a crying miscarriage of justice that the Springboks didn't win. I mean, every time they don't win, it's a crying miscarriage of justice.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it is.
I just want Razzy to be happy.
Who doesn't? You really got to see as well. I don't know if you saw Cheslin Colby's theatrics towards the in attempting to make it seem like someone had obstructed him when he realized that the drop goal was likely. He took a big soccer style dive. But you could go onto Twitter and these people put the JFK Zapruder analysts to shame, because the South African fans were on there going, well, I wonder if actually the fact that Caelan Doris moments before then seems to sway slightly to the left in the eye line of Cheslin Colby, does that actually cause his momentum to tip and he falls over by accident? I mean, isn't that more, isn't that if anything more likely? I enjoy that. That's why I go on Twitter after a victory of any sort, and why I stay off it after a loss of any sort. Because we have those guys.
Well,
too.
We are not exempt. We have our crazies.
Yeah, and I hate watching them. So I don't go on. You know. But the game of rugby really won this weekend. It would have gone by the wayside if not for us mentioning it, because of other less accurate and less flame-haired assassins with just missing their target. Also, can I say to any to anyone who thought that anyone who still thought that any of the right-wing people pretending to be free speech people really were that all of Twitter now, certainly all of the Twitter that Fionn follows, is just the same people who 5 minutes ago were getting out about freedom of speech, just trying to get people fired for making jokes about Donald Trump getting shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, surprise / not surprise. It was never about free speech. It was about you shutting up because I don't agree with you.
Now,
I want to say, on both sides, there's no fucking such thing as a free speech absolutist.
Yeah. Well, certainly there are very few and very far between. And I would like to point out that while I really don't. And people are getting fired. That's the annoying thing. Like, I am seeing people lose their jobs over what I think are clearly jokes. And I wouldn't have missed and stuff like that. So come on, it's not really. I know you're pretending that you think that's a threat against him. It's not, the guy's joking. It's not particularly funny, but it's. Yeah. It's you're allowed to not be particularly funny if you'd like, and I would like to point out to the people who now, like, the people who now are coming out and going, it's my right as an American to do that. So you were doing it 5 minutes ago. You were doing it 5 minutes ago to somebody else who was
yeah, tell that to Nancy Pelosi's husband who had his head caved in with a hammer, like.
So they're a rare breed of person, a free speech absolutist. Most of them are homeless, because fucking you do, you know. They're an everything absolutist. When you're on the gear and on the game, you're an everything absolutist, my friend. That's what you
are. Yeah, you have to be.
You have to be. Why wouldn't you be? I am, and I haven't been on the game in months. People be like, play 100 days sober, and everyone's like. You're like, 100 days, no dick for money.
Yeah.
People are like, ew, you took dick for money? Come on, like, what's the problem here? I don't anymore.
Fucking double standards, am I right?
I'm telling you, it's a double standard, sir. That's what it is. You know, come see me. And then you'll come so nicely. Yes, that's right, folks. I'm using this podcast. I'm back on the game. This was all an elaborate way to tell you. Back on the game!
God, I absolutely hate that that Tape sponsorship ran out and we got sponsored by Manus. Being on the game.
Listen, I'm out there hustling. I don't know, that's what hustle and grind culture is all about, baby. I'm seeing hustling, but I'm not seeing enough grinding. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a lot of money out there, and plenty of it can be sucked out of a dick. That's my whole point. You're that's leaving.
That's my whole point.
That's been the whole point of the all Trump this. Stuff,
that was also my point. The money can be sucked out of a dick.
No, that's your whole point.
That was also my point.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to talk about. You can watch my conspiracy podcast on the Patreon feed if you like, folks, if you want the ramblings. But other than that, that's all I have to say. Is there any review? It would just be a great hit, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not as good as the one in a bottle.
Really?
Yeah,
it's the plastic. Makes it taste better.
Plastic makes it taste better. It's the microplastic, it just gets in there, you know? Those flavors really get to know each other.
It does. And I've heard a lot about microplastics recently. Is it like superfoods? Is this like Akachi berries or whatever? Is it we're supposed to have microplastics?
It's like superfoods, but they live
I hate to Charles Stewart Parnell on you, Manus, but Akachi berries are not.
I don't know.
Only ever seen it written down.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Pardle, Manus.
Oh,
and Macedonia.
And Isaac Butt had a double barrel name, and you'll never guess what the second half of it was. his mother was Caroline Butt, his father, Seamus Plug. He's a double barrel name, you see.
You see.
Yeah. There's a joke that never gets old because it was never fresh.
Yeah, you never make a good joke. You never need to worry about them like aging badly.
We're gonna age poorly. No one's. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. So this is. I think all you're getting for this week.
Yeah, folks.
The two
and
of you.
And be thankful.
Yeah, because it was going to be.
And I think that's been plenty.
Yeah. For now.
You're welcome.
Just you wait till next week, folks. We've got pretty much the exact same thing coming for you. I would say yes.
I would say it will rhyme. It will rhyme.
Yeah, history never repeats itself, except that next week it will, because this is going to be the same episode.
And we're not going to just release the same episode again. You can check the media file properties. Yeah. Like we are check recording word for word again separately.
I knew the metadata would come in handy at some point, and here it is, the diligent edition of metadata, which is fun to do and fun to say. Really only leaves us one thing to share to you, folks. To Parnell Street.
To Parnell Street and Parnell Park.
Parnell Park.
I suck at Parnell parking.
Yeah, fucking be that you... That's to being this guy. That's just
being this guy.
See you next week, Folkaroonie.
See you next week, folks.
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.